Greetings for Author Talk. This is J. Douglas Barker. Fascinating book titled From Behind the Iron Curtain, The Road to Freedom. And our author, Alfred Lenarchiak, who is joining me from the Bahamas, is now on the line with me. Thank you, sir, for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, this is a fascinating story. You have written other books that also are intriguing. This one deals with your personal story of freedom. You grew up in Poland. You have mentioned many things in your book that are fascinating and also of interest and are valuable to the listeners today. Tell me a little of your background and how you got to where you are today.
I was born, as I said in my synopsis, I was born in Poland, and I did live there for 23 years of my life. I get education there and get university degrees from there. But at age of 10, I discover not only the word, but the significance of the word of freedom. And how I discovered that, as I told you before this interview, when I was listening on clandestine radio with a few adult men from my family, inauguration of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, presidential speech, 20th of January, 1961. Well, then I understood what means the free world, what means America, what means the free world when we were living, we were born behind a iron curtain. And freedom was suppressed by there. I saw with my family, with my uncles, with my father. And then I start to understand that I have to do something different. I have to escape from this world. So that, for the next 14 years, I prepare my road to freedom. And this book was actually, how I came there, my background, etc. I was always thinking that I want to live free. I want to be a free man. I want to develop my own way. And I want to give something to society, not only producing the goods which nobody wanted, not only producing the service what nobody wanted, like in communist world. So that's how I get my engineering degree. And, of course, this book showing my determination, courage, and way how to escape, how to get where you want it. And then I complete my university in Canada because I immigrated from Paris to Canada. And I developed myself in the mining business quite successfully. And today, my son is doing financial services, doing asset management, is working asset management firm in Toronto. But I retired with some money which I made and in Bahamas, and we developed an ancestor estate of my wife in southern Italy, which she inherited. And that's how we're living. And I decided at the age of 60 that I would like to write some of the books of my memories, of history of my life. I doing that as a novel mainly because, let's say, The Road to Freedom, yes, that could be also only a biography. But I want to show a little bit of the atmosphere of Poland, a little bit of the way how the everyday dealings was gone, the little corruption of every minute to obtain anything from the shop to the passport, etc. You have to deal with the people who always expect something from you.
Something in return.
That's the way how I did develop it.
You started off to write this just to remind your son of where you had come from and where you are now. Yeah, he knew where you were. But one thing I found interesting in your book, you mention a little of your religious faith, your foundation of faith that you had, even in Poland, in the Iron Curtain, and it was a hidden, it wasn't open. And one thing that you describe for the listener and for the reader is that you would meet secretly to worship. And when freedom came to the country, the churches did not fill up. They remained empty. What is your thought of that?
That's a very interesting point, what you just mentioned. Yes, my time, the churches was closed, and communist society is atheist society. So religion is more or less prohibited. However, because of the thousands of culture and religious beliefs, all the parents and grandparents, you have to understand that, mm-hmm. that Poland was a communist country and we elected a Polish Pope in 1979. Uh-huh. So it is interesting. Yes, we were going to have it our religious school Saturday, and that was underground, that was clandestine. And actually, what we discovered when Poland became free, that actually everybody was baptized, everybody had this today 95% of Polish society is Catholic, Roman Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
However, when I'm coming back today and I see some of my youngest cousins and going to the churches, yes, churches are empty today. The people are modern people. They're doing much less. They put in much less attention to their spiritual life and the churches. But the churches also and religion was also not only a faith, was also a power, was also some kind of organization. Without church, probably solidarity will never be such a powerful organization which will destroy the Iron Curtain and communism. So, yes, the church was also not only faith, but also a power, an organization. And church had a lot of influence in Western society. We have to remember that during the Solidarność in Poland, Ronald Reagan was president, Margaret Thatcher was prime minister of mm-hmm. Britain, Helmut Kohl. So they did help a lot Poland through the Pope, who was Polish Pope in Rome at that time. So, yes, church was organization. So, for me, we were part of that organization, not only as a spiritual. Spirituality, in my opinion, is a very personal thing. You can be Muslim, you can be Jewish, you can be Christian. This should be your beliefs and your way of living and your way to believe what happens after this world. But in the time of communism, church was not only the faith, was also organization.
And persecution as such drove the church underground, and that may happen in the United States and North America if we continue on the secular path we're on right now. You also mentioned in your book about Radio Free Europe as being a very strong influence. Is that something that is still influencing people today?
Yes, it does. That's definitely.
And when you began to write your book, how long did it take, Al, to complete your book, Alfred?
Oh, I wrote the memories in 2009, and I put that just on my shelf. And this book took me probably 6 months. I didn't have to make much research because everything was in my memory.
Right.
Except that I added elements of describing the poem, describing the atmosphere, changing some name. Keep more or less authentic like it was in my time. So I'm writing by hand, and that's why I put in computer. That's not my original language. As you know, I was Polish born, and every day we speak French and Italian. So for me, writing the English is not that easy to make beautiful writing, but it's authentic. It's me.
It's you. And you also included dates, so there had to be some research to confirm those dates. What do you think is going to be the most startling revelation that you have shared in your book that may intrigue the reader?
I think that we are living in a time when immigration become a massive global phenomenon. In America, in every country, as you see it every day, on the border of Europe, there's thousands of people coming from Northern Africa, from the countries which are at war. The same we have in America. What my book is not immigration law. Today immigration law contains 800 pages. My book is only 120 pages. But I think from my experience, what I want to share with everybody, that when we come into the other country, we cannot just come there to asking for job and good quality of living. We have to share something. Mm. We have to put behind our belief in our own countries, and we have to share. We have to open eyes, open our head, and embrace the new society. You know, I can just tell you from my experience, in my time in Poland, until the age of 14, I never saw a people of different color of skin, because it didn't exist. Mm. Neither different religion, neither everything. Well, when you come into America, you have to face all that. You have to share, you have to embrace different society, their different beliefs. You bring something with you, but you take something from others. And you share, and you don't just go and criticize and stay away. You know, and when in this book you will find two sentences, I will never come back to Poland. Yes, I will never come back to Poland, not in physical way. That means I changed myself. I
right.
came to America and did America. So I think this is sharing with everybody that when we come into different countries, when we want to move there, starting our family, have our work, our home, well, we have to figure out that we're not only there working 8 hours a day. We have to spend weekends with our friends, which could be different religion, different color of skin, even different opinions. We have a political rights. We have social rights. So we will have to change ourselves. And that's what is the message what I'm giving as a first generation immigrant who struggled to find his freedom, but also to embrace this freedom in positive way.
Yes. You first went, was it to France from Poland? How did you get there?
Oh, that was not that such an easy task, of course. In my days, we couldn't just go to immigrate.
Across the border,
so
no.
I did escape, yes. That was in the back of the book, says from behind of the Iron Curtain. It was a physical curtain. We were in a prison, you know. It's 28 countries under a Russian regime. But physically in prison, you couldn't get passports, you couldn't get out. That was the wall. So I have to escape, and I did. Today seems to me like unrealistic. I swam through the Danube River from Bratislava to Vienna, and the snipers on a Czech Republic, in Czechoslovakia at that time, they were trying to shoot me. Yes, I prepared carefully my step, and I went to Vienna, from Vienna to Salzburg to West Germany to Brussels, Brussels to Paris, where I discovered that Paris was not also welcome for immigrants. In that time, that was about Giscard d'Estaing was the president, and they were anti-immigrants, and so they want to catch all of us, that's what they call us sans papier, that's without the papers, without the permits, and send back to the origin country.
Right.
So I did hide there and made immigration request to the United States, Australia, and Canada. Canada came first, so I want to, as fast as possible, leave Paris. And that I came to Montreal, because that was, of course, from France. Montreal is a French part of Canada. So that's how I obtained immigration papers, legal papers, and I came to Canada as an immigrant. But for almost one year, I was hiding and trying to survive in order to get a legal immigration paper.
An amazing story. And just to remind our listeners, this wasn't that long ago. This was in the 60s and 70s, correct?
No, that was 1974.
1974.
1975, yes.
Did you already understand the French language when you went to Montreal, or was that something you learned as you immigrated?
In my days in Poland, we didn't have a right to learn other languages. That was also clandestine. The only language which we have to learn was Russian. So my mother was originally, that means she was, she did speak German from Austrian background, but we could speak that at home, but not in there was some schools which was permitted to especially those schools which prepared people for international career. Then you could learn English or German or whatever, French, but that was not popular. So, no, I didn't speak other languages than Russian, a little bit German, and I didn't have a chance to learn French in France because I couldn't. I went to the Alliance School only for 3 months, and after you have to have a legal paper to be in school. So, no, I learned French in Montreal.
In Montreal. This is a fascinating book, and one that I would recommend to everyone that's listening, not just because of the content of the book, but also it gives insight into where we may head as a Western nation and how important freedom is. The title, again, is Road to Freedom. Our author, Alfred Lunarchiak, is also, I won't say a prolific writer, but has written other books that you'll find fascinating, a very interesting personal history, and his stories are gripping to read. Thank you, Alfred, for joining me today. Where can my listeners get a copy of your book?
Everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, Indigo, and you can find it also www.alfredlunarchiak.com, so there was indicated every shop near to you. And, of course, from Google Research, you can find it anywhere.
And Lunarchiak is spelled L-E-N-A-R-C-I-A-K, for those of you who may be wondering. And Alfred is just like it sounds, Alfred Lunarchiak. Thank you, sir, for joining me today. This has been a great interview from my perspective. Enjoyed visiting with you and am fascinated by your story. I hope to hear from you in the future again when maybe you release another book. Is there one on the horizon that you're working on?
That's correct. The new book we call Napoleon's Eagle Prophecy. This is a story of Italian background of my wife, Barbara Ferry, on a ferry house. And this will come somewhere in early summer. It's already written, but there's a lot of work has to be done.
I'm glad you're keeping busy in retirement. It doesn't sound like it's a real retirement. It sounds like a busy retirement. And delighted to hear from you. Thank you, sir, for joining me today.
That keeps us alive.
Thank you. Thank you, Alfred, for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. For Author Talk, this is J. Douglas Barker.